Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, I'm Nick Cody.
And I'm Luke Heggie. Throughout human history, there have been countless scuffles, melees and fracases. When planes were invented, we didn't magically just stop belting the shit out of each other.
So ladies and gentlemen, strap in, kick your shoes off, recline your seat without checking, drink your duty free and start staring aggressively at strangers. This is Mid-Flight Brawl.
Mid-air madness, passengers trading blows.
Mid-air brawl on board a Scoot flight from the Gulf.
At LAX.
Thrown off a flight from Bali.
A disruptive passenger on board.
Cussing, screaming, spitting, even urinating.
Many of them have been captured on cell phones.
Where's the lady that started
I hope this crashes. Out the fucking door!
Welcome to Mid-Flight Brawl. Any tip rat can fly now. Here's what happens when they do. I'm Nick Cody.
And I'm Luke Heggie. There you go, mate.
Mate, we made it. We're in Sydney.
Yep. EP59, no less. I said we'd never do it.
Well, we didn't because EP59 was meant to be live in Perth.
Yeah,
so we actually didn't do it.
No.
We flew there, though.
Yeah.
We got really fucking close to Perth.
Well,
just not close enough.
Straight in, straight to a twin room. Two days later, left.
The twin room, I figured, you know what, it'll save you some coin on a com and we won't be in there because we'll do 3 gigs on the Friday, 5 on the Saturday.
Yep.
Pretty much just sleep there, go to the airport, head our separate ways. But
turns out
it was the whole fucking time in there.
Yeah.
But pretty good.
Oh, yeah, it was all right. It was like a holiday
for
me.
And air has never been fresher. And after leaving that fucking fart box after 2 days, beers
you
and
were
farts.
Disgusting.
You were fucking like an animal.
Like meat and beer. Revolting.
We just ordered barbecue from Side Door Barbecue in Perth. Ripper spot. We bought a slab and just destroyed our body. And then we've flown to Sydney. I'm not allowed in Melbourne. Melbourne declared Perth a red zone.
Are they still, like if you went to Melbourne, you'd
be
that's
orange. It's orange from tonight.
So from tonight, you'd be allowed to go home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brilliant.
I'd be allowed to go home, but I've got to get a test first, even though I just got one.
Get a test and wait another 3 days for the result of the test. Excellent.
So I flew straight here to Sydney and the radio station. There was a soft cock in the ranks there, higher up in the ranks than me, who wanted me to get a test.
I thought this was your choice to get a test. Being a Sictorian, love getting tests. You seem to love it.
Mm. Didn't want to get one. There was somebody higher up in the ranks who I think was a little bit worried about me possibly having it because, you know, two people had it in Perth.
Yeah.
And I never went to anywhere they went. So,
well, they weren't in our fucking twin room.
No,
tell you
weren't.
That much.
COVID wouldn't have fucking lived in there. That's the vaccine. Just melt our bed sheets. Shoot that in you. You're not getting anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck it.
I'm hoping to go back to Perth next week.
Oh, are you going to go?
Well, I don't know. You only had 20 people in a venue, so
that'll do.
Not that useful. Maybe I'll sell one out. But, you know, if that's the case, no point. But hopefully they'll put it back up in the next couple of days.
That the McGowan, Mark McGowan, their premier, he loves it.
Oh, he's on a hair trigger.
Loves it.
Wants to be president of
WA.
He had
scaredy cat voice on Friday. He's like, there's two cases of Hawkins.
Yeah.
Just everyone calm down.
And grow up.
I have figured out, though, because you've constantly said from the start, and Heggie, you still can't seem to wrap your head around what happens when somebody gets a test. You're like, all right, sweet, you got a test. I'll bring the family over. We'll do some pods. I go, nah, I've got to wait. All right, come to our place then. Nah.
I was with you the entire fucking weekend. If you had it, I've got it.
Yeah, of course.
So
I know that.
I could have just come
that's,
here.
Mate, that's using logic.
Yeah.
This is not a time for that.
This is
for
the
rational
land of
thinking.
Victoria.
I do understand, though, how Sydney have avoided it because they had I got tested on Monday, early Monday morning, And that day, Sydney did 5,000 tests.
That's a lot.
And it took 36 hours to get the results back.
Yeah. I think they just write it out. Just go, we'll just like, you might have it. We'll just give him his test results in a week or so and he won't have it anymore.
that's what Brisbane was doing at the start with hotel quarantine. Victoria's numbers were up in hotel quarantine because they test people on day 2 and day 10.
Yeah.
Whereas Brisbane gave you 10 days to grow up, get it out of your system.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Smart.
Just pump it into the aircon through a nebulizer.
Fuck, who knew?
On your chair.
Who knew that if you farted in a hotel room, it just goes to the neighbor across the hall? Fuck, I feel bad for the cunts across the mask. They're dead. No N95 mask is going to help you out of that one. But we're here. We've got a live show in Sydney this Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's only a couple of tickets left.
Yeah, there'll be a few tickets left. This comes out Thursday. So, yeah, get in on the Friday if you can because it'll be – if it doesn't sell out, I'll be really disappointed. There's only a few tickets left.
Perth, I'd love to come back, but I've got a heavily pregnant wife. And as much as I'd love to be in a hotel room by myself again while she gives birth so I can just chill out and watch ESPN docos like I was doing the last few days.
Yeah.
How good, by the way. I watched the George Best one.
Yeah.
George Best, the Northern Irish soccer player.
Hero to everyone.
While I was just drinking a bottle of wine and a six-pack by myself in a room in the darkness, I was watching a story of a man who drank himself to death.
Yeah.
But he drank too much.
Yeah.
He loved it.
Yeah. I mean, whenever I've drunk too much, I've always thought, nah, I don't drink alone in a dark kitchen. So I'm fine. There's no way I could be an alcoholic.
Yeah.
I only do it daylight and with other people.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
But then every now and then.
You will do it by yourself.
Got to let your hair down. Get no back chat when you're by yourself. Good news, when you do go back to Melbourne next week.
Mm.
Straight to the home of the arts, Melbourne.
Yep.
You'll be able to go and see Friends the Musical. What, they really,
is that an actual?
Really push the envelope down there, don't they? And then they pull it right back from the edge and put on Friends the fucking Musical. Oh, goodness.
I'm just seeing if they've actually got.
Exclusively.
Oh, wow.
In Melbourne.
Hold on. Oh, no.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, this is them going through the cast. You can't see them.
You're going to have to turn that off.
But they don't have the rights to the song, it sounds like.
Yeah, they've had to change it slightly. Oh, my goodness.
Friends the Musical. Oh, it's a parody as well.
Oh.
I don't know. Let's see if there's any. Oh, the best. There. Another YouTube video on it where they're showing you none of the actual lines.
Yeah.
There's just reviews. The hilarious New York and Las Vegas hit Friends, the musical parody, is pivoting its way to Australia.
Of course it is.
Great.
What, with an Australian cast?
Yeah.
That is. That's it.
Yeah.
It looks appalling. The show is appalling. The whole thing stinks, and it's as if they don't have anyone who could just write some new stuff and get that commission. It's fucking unbelievable.
Well,
it is Melbourne.
No. I think they do. They've got heaps of that.
Of course they do.
Around the world. But people won't go until it's this at the theatre.
But
it's like people
don't give them this as a fucking option.
It's like people won't go and watch live music unless it's Queen, the tribute band or whatever.
Yeah.
You think, well, you haven't seen live music. You've just seen somebody play another band's songs.
So difficult to draw a crowd to anything out in the country. Like any of those theatres I've ever been to in the regional Australia, it's all like, you know, tribute bands.
Yeah.
The Eagles tribute band were here last week. Full, did extra shows. Everyone loved it. They're still singing in the streets. What do you want to do? No one's coming. Fuck.
Hey, I wrote an original. Boo. Get out. Friends the Musical. I'll be straight there. Well, I did watch, what did I go and see? Gander. Gander the play.
Oh, Jesus Christ, yeah.
Come From Away.
Where was that? Was that in the theater?
That was at Comedy Theatre.
Yeah, right. Comedy theatre?
Yeah.
Was it a comedy?
Oh, it had some jokes in it. That's the best thing about musicals. It's like when they said, what was the South Park one? Book of Mormon?
Yeah, well, that was actual.
It's the funniest musical I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's like, so the bar is so low that, of course, the creators of South Park could beat that.
Yeah.
It's not as funny as the top 10 South Park episodes, but it was pretty good.
Did Gander have any good 9/11 jokes?
No good 9/11 jokes.
No little in jokes. You know when you go to a kid's show or something, there's fucking in jokes for the parents, nauseatingly. They'll nudge each other up back and go, that was a joke about sex.
Oh.
Yeah, there'd be
they would have had a few little bits of innuendo, but nothing about the terrorist attack 9/11.
Okay. Kept, so that's where the real humour would be us. if they bothered to write it better. Layer it.
9/11 joke. Fucking hell.
All right, man. We better get stuck in. This week we've got we're looking at Royal Air Cambodge.
Cambodge?
And if you can cast your mind back.
Hold on. Is that an actual airline, is it?
Yeah, Cambodge.
Cambodge. Fuck. Yeah. I thought you'd just Aussie'd up Cambodia.
Oh no, that's how you'd say
Cambodge.
That's how you'd say Cambodia in French. But and oh, is I it? Assume in some other languages as
fucking
well.
Here we go.
What?
That's how you say it in French.
Your mate.
I don't think just French. Makes I think you think a few it? Other languages mate. Yeah. Don't call it Cambodge.
Okay, do they?
I've got to apologise for educating you now, do I?
No.
Is that where we are? Do they? Yeah.
I thought they would have called it something nicer, the French. Cambodge.
I've got no respect for it.
It sounds like something we'd call Cambodia and the French would call Cambodge, Cambodia.
Yeah, right. Well, it's just another one of those countries they went to and go, bread, here you go, here's a shit lesson. See ya. Go on. Leave out a key ingredient and you'll think you've fucking nailed it. You haven't.
Then they come back and go, did you put pork in there? Fuck. All right.
So, we're looking at April 8, 1997.
Ooh.
And
97, good year.
Oh, yeah. Deep down heart of gold larrikin like yourself, Teng Bunma. He's the owner of the luxury Intercontinental Hotel in Phnom Penh. Among other things, Cambodian businessmen, from what I was saying, don't just stick with one industry.
No.
They spread themselves around.
And that, if I assume it's like any intercontinental hotel in the world, it probably looks the same as in 1997.
Yeah. Well, this one doesn't. We just had a long look at the video. It doesn't look great, does it?
No, but none of them do.
No.
There are a lot of hotels that are like, look at this. And you go, yeah, I see. You built it in 1985.
Yeah.
What have you done since then?
But this one looks like a proper third world future bomb site. Mm. Like it's fucking just concrete. You know, it's not great, is it?
No.
If it's still standing 100 years from now, it's a slum.
You reckon?
Yeah, I reckon all slums started as intercontinentals. Slowly over the years, they
that's
just
the
ran
favelas.
Down.
Yeah. That was a whole neighborhood of intercontinental hotels in Brazil. Now look at it.
So our mate Teng, he's made bank off the back of the fall of the Khmer Rouge in 1979. He owned a newspaper.
Now, Teng, are you going to tell me that's how the French say Thomas or something? Is that?
Oh, probably. I don't know. Yeah. No, I haven't looked. I didn't
check the French out. Had just dropped the H, wouldn't they? It'd be Thomas.
Thomas.
T-O-M-A-S, or is that a
it'd drop the H, but they wouldn't say the S. It'd be Thomas.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Sorry. Different places, huh?
makes you think, doesn't it?
So he's owned a newspaper, which is never a great fucking look, especially in the third world. And his son owns
So he manages the Intercontinental and owns a newspaper.
He owns the Intercontinental, owns a newspaper. There's more.
Oh, he owns
he's
it as well.
Much
oh,
more stuff
there's more, is it?
Yeah. His son owns a casino. Along with his business partner is a high-up Khmer Rouge functionary. And Teng is also the president of Cambodia's Chamber of Commerce. So, you know, fingers in pies.
Yeah.
Old Teng. He's not officially, like, he's not a backbencher or anything. He's not an official politician, but he might as well be.
Yeah.
He's just got a direct line. He's like the Alan Jones, I suppose.
Developing nations, that's why it's called developing, because their sus business deals are too out in the open. They haven't developed enough to know how to hide that properly yet.
Yeah.
Like they're just a sus here, but for some reason they seem to layer
in
it
a way,
little bit better.
I respect their way more.
Oh, yeah.
They've just got their fingers up the whole time, driving around the streets in a luxury car. Spitting on peasants.
I'll have another military medal, thanks.
Fuck yeah.
Didn't do anything. Stick another one on. They love it.
Run out of chest space. Pin it to my dick. Yeah.
They love an over the top. Fucking hell.
Didn't the North Korean, didn't he win a golf, didn't he do a golf course in 18 holes?
Yeah.
The old one?
Yeah.
Fuck. 18 shots, I mean.
Yeah.
18 holes, 18 shots. Hole in one every fucking... That's incredible.
Invented the cheeseburger.
Why isn't that in the Guinness Book of Records? That is incredible.
What was the one Kim Jong, he found, did he find unicorns?
He went to a cave and did something. He invented the sandwich. He wrote a bunch of operas.
He discovered a unicorn lair.
That's right.
Sick. So good.
Well, Teng's tentacles go further. He's never been allowed in the USA because they suspected him of being a linchpin in Thailand's drug trafficking trade, which he was. Cambodia's richest businessman, Teng Bunma, he's going to want a piece of that fucking action. Mm. But also...
You're in that triangle.
Oh, yeah. But also he's a... on top of this, he's a font of generosity. He's a pretty good bloke. Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't keep all the money for himself.
Mr. Teng is a truly generous man. His company, the Thai Bun Rong Group, is building an enormous hotel in Mao Zedong Avenue. As he said, I'm fixing his road free of charge. And what did Mao Zedong ever do for me? His largesse is impressive. In August 93, he paid $1.8 million for Prince Ranarid's aeroplane. The second Prime Minister got something close to his heart too, a bulletproof Mercedes.
Sick.
Yes. I mean, the man he bought that Mercedes for.
So Mao Zedong, like the Chinese leader.
Yeah.
Mao, he just fixed his road for free.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good bloke.
Great bloke. The road happened to be the one that went straight to the Intercontinental.
What are the odds?
Makes you think, doesn't it?
He's the bloke he bought the bulletproof Mercedes for.
Sorry, just quickly. Yeah. We were talking before about the corruption in the developing nations and they hide it a bit better. The one that got me, the starter last year or the year before, Matt Canavan, he's like the Minister for Resources, so mining and everything. His brother-in-law spent a few, like $6 or $7 million to be part owner of a mine.
Yeah.
Matt just had no idea about it.
No idea.
Just none.
Didn't come up over dinner.
Man, if my sister-in-law is looking at a secondhand car, I fucking know about it.
Oh, yeah.
Let alone if she was about to spend $6 million on a mine and my job was head of mines.
Yeah.
I reckon at some point would have heard about it. Fucking dodgy cunt.
I mean, for successful people, at heart, they're quite ignorant, aren't they, all these corrupts?
Yeah.
It's like when Eddie Obeid.
Well, I'm not saying he's corrupt. I just did radio codes training yesterday. Mm-hmm. Defamation laws in Australia.
I thought it was teaching you how to not to be a pest around the office. It's actually defamation.
No, this is all radio stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. This is just radio broadcasting laws.
Yeah, right. So I've done courses before for jobs. They're fucking painful.
Good news, when it comes to defamation, one of the things you can say is it's just my honest opinion.
Yeah, right.
So you're sorted.
I'm fine.
Anything you say is truly your...
Well, yeah, I've thought about this for this exact podcast, actually. We are going to get sued one day, but just want to go on the record and say this is all opinion.
Yeah.
It's based on falsehoods and it's my opinion and satire. Your opinion and that's all it is. Yeah. Satire. It's political satire, no less.
Satire and opinion.
Yeah.
No facts in it.
That won't stop me getting the shit kicked out of me one time from one of these fucking assholes who finds us. But
good luck.
I want them to know that it's satire. All right?
Nobody that gets maggot on planes and fights, I think, listens to a podcast. And if they do, it's the Joe Rogan Experience.
Yeah. When you're on that promoting this, it might change
the dream.
Things. Yeah.
Fuck, imagine that. Working your way up to get on Rogan to promote mid-flight brawl.
Nah.
What a fucking weird world.
We're all right.
Let's lock it in. 2025. He's got a 10-year Spotify deal.
Yeah.
Americans are dying in droves thanks to not worrying about masks and staying home. So surely within that 10-year block, one of us can get on there.
Oh, man. I'm all right, thanks. You can go and do it. I couldn't give a fuck. Awful. Anyway, so he's bought the bulletproof Mercedes for his good friend Hun Sen.
And we should say that all legitimate business people need a bulletproof car.
Well, legitimate fucking president of a country.
That's right.
Like the long-term democratically elected leader of Cambodia.
100% again.
Yeah, president of the Cambodian People's Party. Yeah. Like anyone in charge of an organisation, political or otherwise, with the word people in it, fucking sus.
Yeah.
Like it's on for the people.
Oh, it's one of my favourite things about the communism and socialism is the let's all get together, everything spread around fairly, I'll lead this.
Yeah.
You know, just I'm in charge of everything.
Yeah. Oh, idiots, you idiots think the people want food, shelter and water as a priority. No. Turns out what the people want all along is to build me a solid gold mansion, furnish it with guards training their fucking rifles on anyone approaching it. the people also want for all my mates to be rich.
Yeah.
And for me to go hunting with Putin. That's what the people really want deep down if you were to ask them at gunpoint in the gutter.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
They'll want to come to a funeral and clap. And if any one of those people stop clapping first, they want to die.
Yeah.
That's what the people
they deep
want.
Down want to die. They don't know it.
If they don't cry
it's
hard
all dumb.
Enough, they get shot.
I'll just kill some of them for fun. We're all equal. He's Hun Sen. He's not as bad as Pol Pot, so therefore a really good bloke.
That is, again,
I know.
Bar very low.
Fucking the lowest probably ever.
Yeah. Do you see any mountains of skulls near my house? Yeah. Nah. I told you, top guy.
All these cunts get in like that, like, yeah. Oh, I'm better than him. And then they turn out to be as bad or worse eventually.
Always.
Hun Sen, Prime Minister of Cambodia, still now, very popular leader, as you said, 100% of people vote for him. That's an overwhelming majority in anyone's language. And all this, all of his potential opposition, just not up to the task. Biggest problem with them is that they're all clumsy, falling off cliffs, shooting themselves multiple times in the back, usual stuff.
Hanging themselves with their hands tied behind their back. How are you meant to lead a country if you're that dumb?
I know. It's just clumsy. Like, you can't have people falling downstairs and shit as a leader.
Well, we had a mate of ours, and I won't say his name just in case there is any trouble in his country of origin. But there's a mate of ours from Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
A comedian who told us about there was like an opposition.
Mike Goldstein.
Yeah, Goldstein is, but it's not him.
Okay.
There was somebody running like an opposition party member. Who was found, he'd had a heart attack while jogging.
Mm.
It was very sad. He was just in a three-piece suit.
Jogging,
outside a
jogging
hotel.
In a three-piece suit. That's a step further than those fat lunatics you see at lunchtime with a garbage bag on.
What's that?
You see, like, see people jogging during the day, 40 degrees with a garbage bag on just to lose more weight.
Oh, the, like a weight cut, like a boxer's weight cut.
Yeah. You see some fat losers around. I've seen them in Sydney.
Oh, really?
Yeah, lunchtime jog.
Wow.
40 degrees, garbage bag on. Three-piece suit, step up from that.
Yeah. Small issue is what they're losing there is water weight. Like, they're watching Rocky, but they don't understand he was already shredded going into the weight cut, and that's just to lose the final amount of water weight to get in on the scale.
Oh, okay.
It's all the fat. You're not burning fat with a plastic bag
so
on.
So your water's the first thing to go, is it?
No. So you want to you'd want to slowly cut weight. And then the last bit of the weight cut, they're just trying to cut water weight to drop even more. But you're not burning fat with a fucking garbage bag on. Losing water weight.
Is that why those big fat losers, when they lose weight, they've got all the flaps and shit, they don't lose it slow enough?
Yeah, you can lose it a bit.
If you were 200 kilos and you lost weight over the course of 3 years slow enough, do you think you wouldn't have those big flaps?
Maybe.
Like the fucking, lose a sandwich under a roll of fat.
Instagram doesn't care about that.
Well,
they want it quicker.
They want it
much
quick.
Like producers, TV producers wanted a bit
quicker. Of course, but it can't be good.
No.
Take your time.
Yeah.
Take it easy.
Yeah.
Do it the right way. So, learn something off this podcast, everybody. like all good dictators, though, Hun Sen gets involved in stuff he's shit at to just show he's a man of the people. This is probably my favourite thing about little nerds with power trying to do things the common man can do without issue. These basic skills have always eluded them. It's very reason little men search for power in the first fucking place. It's so good. Hun Sen, he's about as good at football as John Howard is at cricket. And we just watched a video before of Hun Sen. Politicians getting involved in sports.
Yeah.
So good.
He's just taken a little penalty kick. So there's a goalie there who's probably been told, hey, dive
just
the other way
through,
or everyone's losing their fucking heads.
Yeah.
The problem is, though, the guy's still got to kick it in the net.
Yeah.
There has been a small problem. They're not all laughing there because he's kicked such a great goal. He's
top just, corner.
No.
Unstoppable.
He's gone to the left and there's a cameraman getting the front-on shot of the kick who it's just hit right in the balls.
Yeah. Nothing better than a ball shot, is it?
Yeah.
Thank goodness everyone laughed.
Yeah. They probably had to laugh for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Which is easy to laugh at, someone getting fucking nutted with a soccer ball.
Yeah. It's still right up there. It still remains like one of the funniest. You can make up as many jokes as you want, man. Someone getting kicked in the nuts.
Oh.
Fucking top quality.
So funny.
Like the best.
Yeah.
I've had it happen to me, actually. Well, obviously, everyone has, but yeah, but playing indoor soccer, I was goalkeeping.
Yeah.
I got kicked in the nut with a little hard ball. It's like a little medicine ball they use. Fuck. Yeah. And I had to go off. Like I was fetal position.
Laughing.
No.
Laughing too much.
Everybody else was. They were my own teammates falling on the ground pretty much laughing. They had to stop the match.
Ambulance crashed. I couldn't. They were laughing.
I thought I was paralyzed. Yeah. I had to crawl off, only just got off, and I just curled up in a ball for the next half hour. It's awful.
Yeah.
But the funniest thing ever, obviously, for everyone else. So, fucking grim.
That's why guys go down, because it's too much laughter trying to leave our body when we've been hitting the nuts. We know how funny it is.
It's only funny when it happens to other people, as far as I can tell.
Oh.
Fucking grim. Anyway, like we haven't even talked about the plane incident yet. It's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. That's what this is about.
So Royal
you
Air.
You want another can?
Yeah, I have a can. Royal Air Cambodge. Thanks, mate. They'd flown from Hong Kong to Phnom Penh. An airline representative told Teng that his luggage would only get unloaded when he paid for an extra $600 for excess baggage he had underpaid when he got on.
You don't get stung for excess baggage on the back end.
Well, you wouldn't think so, but they obviously neglected to get it off him on the way. I don't know. That's a mistake. Like I don't run an airline, but even I know that. Yeah, no fucking way. You know, they do travel heavy, these types.
Smarter way to do it, though, I reckon.
What? To get it on the back end?
Yeah. Then they really can't go anywhere.
Well, they can't.
People get annoyed enough at the start, they just won't get on the flight. But you get them at the back end. Oh, I just want to go home.
You reckon that's the mentality?
Or he's had something added into his luggage on the way.
Yeah, right. Just fucking, my boogie board wasn't this heavy when I got on.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Yeah, right.
So we found 1.5 ton of talcum powder in your.
Well, I mean, you see a little man traveling with big men that he's ordering around. Just let him have what he wants.
Yeah.
Especially in Cambodge. Don't tell him what to do. I mean, yeah, you must have pulled a Don't You Know Who I Am by now.
Never.
No?
No. could never do it because there's nothing to know.
Well,
I was in the Daily Mail yesterday as Nick Kamov. We're talking about a...
In Sydney?
Yeah. No. Just Daily Mail. What's it's on Daily the internet, Mail? Isn't it?
Yeah,
you can't just buy one at the shops. Okay. One Daily Mail, thanks.
It's an Australian thing.
Yeah, Daily Mail Australia. They're talking about my co-host on the radio, Brennan Favola, has a Call of Duty addiction. We found out that he's played over 500 hours of it in 6 months.
Okay.
And
that's a lot of time. That's a long time.
Yeah, I'd ask how many AFL games he'd played, and it was 204. And I said, your time's up by 2 hours, 408. He's played more hours of Call of Duty than he played AFL.
And he's
and they said, yeah.
Like what?
He was getting made fun of by his co-host, Nick Kamov.
Oh, right.
I'm Nick Kamov now.
Nick Kamov. How do you quantify how many – like does he put a stopwatch on every time he's
– No. There's an app apparently where you can just look up any player in the world and find out. We found out his kill rate and his win rate. So he wins games 0.1% of the time.
Yeah, okay. Think of how many hours those people are putting in.
Yeah.
Is this boys all over the world just playing it fucking 20 hours a day?
Yeah.
Yeah? Contributing to the world by doing that. Do you think any of them become soldiers?
Well, I think that's happening a lot now. Don't they take drone pilots from they find people that are really good at those games and get them into drone strikes.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Fucking Brave New World, isn't it?
Turns out, though, from a distance, can't tell a wedding from a terrorist group.
No, not really.
It's a bit hard.
Same.
So high up.
Yeah. The ones with the large numbers, just take them out.
Hold on. A limousine's just arrived. There's a man in a suit and somebody in a dress. That's probably another terrorist. Shoot it.
Man, I'm more incredulous when people do know who I am. That's fucking... I sold merch outside my own recently completed hour of stand-up to people who have been in it and said, and they come out and go, oh, that guy's pretty good. I said, oh, thanks very much. And then they go, why are you thanking me? You're just selling his pencils.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I was that was me. Was it?
Yeah.
You just fucking looked at me for an hour.
You know what surprised them, though? When you're at the merch desk, you'll occasionally smile or say hello.
Only when I make a sale. Only when the fucking ding of the FPOS machine goes. Clang, another $10 in the pocket.
It.
Well, some of them are actually so revolted. It's like when I used to, first couple of years of Melbourne Comedy Festival, doing your own flyering. Mm. Fuck me. That is soul-destroying. But people turn up to your show occasionally and just go, oh, that's the guy who gave me the flyer. And they're so revolted.
Yeah.
Same outside selling merch. You go, that's you. Yuck, I don't want to buy anything now. You should have a fucking, a bikini model selling your pencils.
Yeah, there is something weird about it. But, it's like when you're in comedy, there's so many fucking middlemen taking little slices here and there that you think, I'll sell my own merch.
Yeah.
And then you realise the disgust on the faces of the patrons. You go, I should have just added another middleman.
Yeah, I don't know. I just got that many pencils to get rid of. I've got boxes of the shit at home. I've got to flog them off. Then I'm going to stop on merch. So get in now. Get yourself a good deal, 3 for $10.
Next time, if they don't know who you are, you've just got to say you're this bloke.
Come on, who are you then?
Ronnie Pickering.
Who?
Ronnie Pickering.
Who?
Ronnie Pickering.
Who the fuck's that?
I am.
I'm Luke Heggie. These are my pencils.
So in response, right, Bunma, he's been asked for $600 for his excess baggage.
Is that USD?
Didn't say.
You've got to assume USD.
I would think so.
Cambodian story.
A lot of these countries don't even have their own fucking currency.
Yeah.
It's going greenbacks.
A lot of the countries, forget inflation is an actual economic force, and then all of a sudden, 2.8 million for some bread.
Oh, yeah, bag of rice, 10 million Zimbabwean dollars. What? Yeah. I'll bring in the wheelbarrow.
You don't want to cut off some zeros?
Yeah.
Nah, let it keep going.
So Bunma, he's grabbed a pistol off one of his bodyguards. Never met a good bloke who requires bodyguards, much less ones with pistols. And with the pistol, he shot out a tyre of the 737.
Fuck.
Bang, shot it.
Hard to change that.
Flat. Fucking is it ever.
Yeah, he said, well, you can't really put it on a jack because it's already so fucking high up.
Nightmare. It's a two-day job.
Yeah.
For a whole team.
What are you meant to do? You can't tip it on the side, the wings. No. Honestly, how the fuck are you meant to?
Well, you do it like the bush mechanics. Just stuff it with cloths.
Spinifex.
Yeah. I would have thought, silly. I thought some of those tyres would be pneumatic, but they're actually full of air like a car tyre.
Yeah, yeah.
When they get a flat, fucking catastrophic. Must be really thick rubber.
Oh, fuck yeah.
It was like the Concorde, like the fall of the Concorde. That was just a flat tyre.
Was it?
Well, yeah, someone left something on the fucking tarmac.
Oh, that's right.
It's a screw or something. Bang, popped, gone, deady bones, see you later, Concorde.
Yeah.
I reckon that's an inside job.
Over one crash.
One crash that wasn't their fault.
Yeah.
No, nah, Concorde's gone. I reckon Boeing fucking dropped some tax on the runway.
So I put 20 cents on the train line to get the get the train. It'll set
that's
off the.
Surely a myth.
Is it?
Well, it's got to be. Like a fucking coin on the train tracks. That's not going to derail the train.
No, it doesn't derail the train. Doesn't it just set off the railroad crossing further down?
That's
what I was always told as a kid.
What, through electricity?
It just makes it, it registers something. I don't know.
Okay.
Now that I've said it out loud and I haven't thought about it since I was 8, I reckon it's bullshit.
It is bullshit.
It's just people
coins
really
start churning out of somewhere like a pokey, somewhere down the line. Set at the next crossing, get yourself a bonus. Feature. So Teng said, when he shot out the tyre, he got in trouble. Well, vaguely, very rich. He said, look, I would have shot all of them out, but there were too many people standing around.
Yeah,
what a guy.
Better safe than sorry.
Oh, yeah. They didn't know he's such an important man, rich enough to pay for everybody's excess luggage, but why should he? It's a matter of principle. I think the rich just.
First of all, how's the airport security, Cambodia? All my bodyguards have brought their pistols through.
Yeah, it's mad. He's not even
Get your laptop out of the case, sir. This cunt has a Glock.
He's clearly a fucking VIP of some description, but he's not a politician or a military. He's nothing, like nothing that requires guns on a plane. But there they are. His bodyguard's got them. I think the rich people are just used to getting free shit and refuse to go back to paying for it when they clearly could. It's like cunts getting free tickets to shows. People just ring up and go, oh, I'm with the fucking, I'm with this organisation. Can I get 2 free tickets? You go, nah, you just pay for them, man. Of course you can get tickets. Just, buy yourself a tax-deductible fucking ticket if you're from the newspaper.
Yeah.
Or a large sporting organisation who wants to take their fucking players out for a night out. Surely just get their envelopes out of their lockers and they can fucking give me a 20 each. Done. Although I have to say, I do take advantage of that. One of the few benefits
of free shit.
Of being a low-level comedian.
The thing you just mocked.
Not really.
Yeah.
If I was a rich cunt, I wouldn't. Yeah. But one of the few benefits of being a low-level comedian is I'm allowed to go to and watch the masters of their craft, such as yourself, this Friday, which I'll be doing, plying their trade. That trade, of course, is being able to talk. But if I were a rich one, I reckon I'd just pay for tickets.
Yeah.
I have paid for tickets for stuff. Yeah. I really want to support a little guy.
You will be for this Friday. Heard you're bringing your wife. There's no fucking way I'm giving up two tickets to Dad Bod.
Well, you are free. Because it's already done.
Fuck.
I've got an inside line. I'm all already right. in. I'll be sitting next to the sound guy.
All right. I'm selling your merch afterwards. Getting a bit of that pencil dosh.
So 10.
That'd be great. Just $60 worth of pencils.
Yeah. You'll find them out the back. There'll be a box somewhere. Just start selling them. That's nearly like all the greats do sell after this show. I'm selling DVDs. Not my own. Just ones out of the library. Or just, I've got The Bodyguard. I've got Rocky 1, 2 and 3. I'm selling DVDs.
It's going to a very important charity called Me Mortgage.
Yeah. So, Tang, his punishment for firing off a gun in public and damaging a tire, which cost the airline $3,000 and 2 days of not flying the plane.
I assume it was the death of an airport security member.
His punishment?
Yeah.
Oh, I assume
someone died.
He got to kill some of them, probably. Yeah. But his punishment was a $500 fine.
Fuck.
So I think he's learned his lesson. Someone asked you to pay excess baggage fees, get yourself a discount by shooting something.
I always knew airports were charging too much and airlines were charging too much for stuff. But to blow out the tire on a 737 is less than a heavy bag.
Fuck yeah. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Tang, though, he's just a man of his word. He's an honest larrikin who does what he says. And this is a direct quote from Tang Bunma. You can ask me whatever you like, but please report accurately or I will file a complaint in court about you. Please do not play games with me. There are some journalists who have defamed me by writing that I am the head of a drug smuggling ring. I would tell you that if Tang Bunma does something, he never answers questions about it inaccurately. If I say I will shoot you, I'll really shoot you, like I shot the plane's wheel. So, man of his word, just a bloody good bloke.
Thinly veiled threat there.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, only liars with big egos talk about themselves in the third person. Luke Heggie doesn't appreciate third person references at all. It's one of my pet fucking hates hearing that.
Also, I'll put a complaint about you. I'll make a complaint in court.
Yeah.
And by that I mean I'll call my friend and you're dead.
Oh, yeah. Fuck you.
There's no way that's going to a court. There's no way there's any sort of legal system that he's putting his complaints through.
No.
He's filing a document. That's fucking one phone call, a suitcase full of cash, and then your fucking car's blown up.
Fuck yeah. It's but a lot of people disappear off the back of making complaints or turning their nose up at the likes of Tang in Cambodge.
Well, I must say, even the journalists here that, you don't know what's happened, but the Ben Robert Smith stuff, the stories of the SAS.
Yes.
There's a lot of bad press about Ben Robert Smith.
Yeah.
And you got to think, for a journo, like, they're no way they're his size or could use a weapon or their fists as well as him. So it is fairly ballsy, I think.
You reckon? I think Australia's safe enough. You say what you fucking want.
Well, you say that, but the AFP will kick in a journo's door and go through all their shit, which isn't a great sign of
a free nation. No, but as far as the subject of your ridicule or you saying this person's a grub, the likelihood of them coming round to your place and kicking the fuck out of you in Australia, a bit different, I reckon. Like Robert Smith, he's not coming round. I'll say it right now. Ben Robert Smith, you're a cunt. Let's see if he knocks on the door in 5 minutes and takes us both out.
I'm not saying that. I did my radio codes. You'd have to beep out, cunt. He's a Ruger. Sorry. You'd have to put in some noise.
Hockey, hockey. So everything's back to normal, right? And Tang, but he's just apologised for the outburst, sort of. Turned out, wasn't him at all. It was stress and a bad temper.
Oh, hold on. Stress,
bad temper.
4G.
Hold on. See, that's what I mean by the developing nations not having their shit. You've got to put in things that are measurable.
Yeah, such as mental illness.
Yeah, no. Oh.
stress.
It can't be just mental illness. No, surely it's got to be mental illness plus beers.
Yeah. Or you got to add something on.
Yeah.
His was stress and a bad temper. That's not even amateurish, man. That's why they haven't. Yeah.
I thought two negatives equal a positive, but clearly maths is a bit different.
Take stress and a bad temper, you should have a good bloke. Stress is like an 80s term. That's gone.
Yeah.
Oh. Stress doesn't even exist anymore.
No.
It's mental illness now.
Dyslexia.
So it's a bad temper that shot out the plane tire. The hard work to
Fuck, you know what? That's true. There's no...
People don't talk about stress.
No stress balls
anymore.
There's
no nervous breakdowns anymore. There's episodes, psychotic episodes. Mm. No one's putting those Chinese balls in their hands anymore, are they? It's probably the problem.
Well, one of the things I got to watch when I was stuck in my hotel room for 2 days for no reason was the five-part O.J. Simpson ESPN 30 for 30 doco.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was pre-CTE. That came out in 2014 or 2015.
Oh, yeah.
That was just before CTE, the concussion disease, which now, if they made that now, he'd be a victim.
Oh, man, he was a 70s, 80s.
Running back.
Like 1995.
94,
was when
yeah.
he did the – yeah. 94, sorry. 95 was when I used to stay up and watch the case.
The trial.
I used to watch it, yeah.
Man, I had no idea how obvious it is that he did it.
Oh.
Or how obvious it was, sorry, that he did it until I saw that.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. It's pretty good. Good series.
How good his lawyer, his legal team were the best.
Oh, they're great.
Yeah,
but they're all patting themselves on the back, laughing, going, "Yeah, we got it. We got this guy off. Can you believe it, America?" Sick.
But now, if they made it, it'd be poor OJ, CTE.
Yeah,
concussions.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so wrapped. I've got concussions.
Oh, you can do anything.
I've had four.
Have you?
I've been
knocked out three times. How many do you need, you reckon, to claim that you're not a bad bloke?
Yeah.
Three will do it?
Concussions.
Three?
That's what these nerds don't realise. Play some contact sport, sorted for life now. I've probably got CTE, you can't check.
Yeah, okay. But like how many do you need?
Don't know. Well, three or four, surely. Surely it's not great.
I've had three, but they weren't football related.
What were yours?
Oh,
one or only sport.
Actually, one I got kicked in the head.
Yeah, that'll do it.
I was fucking out. In Ireland, though, just got a bloody, it's got my hair ruffled, told to get on with it. Didn't work. I had to go to hospital.
And, old Dublin, how are you?
Yeah. The others were just fucking shit in life. The hard work required to head up an international drug trafficking ring can take its toll on a man. In terms of stress and just manifest itself every now and then in a tantrum. We've seen it before, we'll see it again. Tantrums. Soon after, though, that just blew over. Business as usual. Tang was in a position in early July of the same year, 1997, to sling his old mate Hun Sen $1 million in gold.
Yeah.
Just as a gift to help him stage yet another bloody coup against opposition.
Yeah.
So here's $1 million in gold. Don't forget the Intercontinental. Send all your mates there a million times.
Nothing more sus than dealing in gold. Just gold bullion is never associated with. Unless you're at Fort Knox.
Yeah.
No good.
I still don't really know. What is bullion? Like, what's bullion? Is it coins? Is it bars?
I assume bullion was just the bars.
It's bars, is it?
That's what I thought.
Because when you.
Bullion sounds French. Surely you'd see, know.
Your mate.
You know, you see like RSL fucking houses and shit, but they can't quite make it up the value. They've got an $8 million house. But. You know, you get $50,000 in gold bullion.
Yeah.
Clearly, that's not a gold bar.
You think it's nuggets?
Well, how much? Well, not a raw nugget out of the ground, but how much bullion do you get for 50 grand? You can't get a big bar.
Well, it's
gold.
A fluctuating price.
I know. But a Mars bar size.
But it's going
gold.
Up. Gold keeps going up. So it's probably a really small amount now. You'd be shattered.
Yeah.
$50,000 gold bullion. And it just fits in your palm.
It's one of those vodka bottles with the flakes fucking floating around in the bottom. That's got to be bullshit too, doesn't it?
Oh, what was the, was it Goldschlager, I think, in America?
Yeah.
Sell that at?
Yeah. Well, very rarely.
Queensland.
Yes.
Gold flakes in
Not
a vodka
often.
Bottle.
Yeah.
Just vodka in Queensland. I don't. It's fuck.
First thing you do is get a magnet on a string. Fucking dip it into your vodka, pull it all out, see what happens. Nothing.
Nothing.
You can breathe it in.
That's the type of vodka, I think, as well, that it freeze in the freezer. Oh, always yeah, a sign of shitty sure. vodka. If it freezes, no good. They've got some other stuff in there, yeah. mainly water.
Hear an explosion in the middle of the night, you know your vodka's not up to scratch.
That was absolutely shit-ass vodka.
Ah, so this is July, right? He's given $1 million of gold to Hun Sen. Very soon after, Teng, he's on yet another plane and need to let his hair down, obviously, stress. Some men go bald with it. Others pull a gun out in public to relieve their blood pressure. Well, Teng's one of them.
I've seen some of my mates that are going balding. I'd rather them just pull out a firearm on a plane, keep their hair in.
Why? Are they losing their minds not liking it?
No, I've got some mates that are really holding on.
Comb over, hold on?
Yeah, or not quite comb over, but just that, you know, brush it forward, spike it up at the front.
Oh, yeah.
It's not doing it.
Not tall enough to get away with that. Got to be real tall.
No, it is. There's drones now.
Yeah. They got to sit down sometime. And you'll see.
Birds have known for years, but you know, now we can also.
Oh, yeah. You know what they call a comb over in Japan?
No.
A barcode.
Oh, yeah, because the lines.
Yeah, the lines go straight over the top. It's very good. Anyway, so.
Potted a doggo. And barcode. They're nailing it.
Oh, yeah. They're pretty good.
Would have turned my great grandpa around, I reckon.
Yeah. July 31, 1997.
Hold on.
Oh, yeah. Teng. He's on yet another plane. And Phnom Penh to Bangkok this time.
Insane. Insane.
Straight on a plane. 2 months later, on a plane.
He shot the wheel out
yeah.
of a 737 two months later.
On another plane.
By the way, I never heard any sort of court appearance.
No, there wasn't. He owns the courts. You don't selling $1 million of gold to the prime minister, the president, and go to fucking court ever, man. He's on Orient Thai Airlines, which was founded in 1995. No fatalities, largely due to luck. Once they flew within 200 metres of Tokyo Tower, a jumbo jet. Fuck me. Mistake, sorry. Royal Air Cambodge never had a fatality either and ran from 1956 until October 2001 when they called it real early. Said, no one's flying anymore due to what happened in America. They were folding up the business.
Fuck.
2001, first one, out. So, yeah.
They weren't even near the States, though.
I know.
They're fine.
Yeah. You'd think that, but, you know, one-story buildings in Australia got abandoned on September 11.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, let's get out of here. Let's go to an open space. We'll see the planes coming. Everybody out to the desert now. So, Teng Bunmei, he's gotten on the Orient Thai airplane, but his mates were running late.
Well, you know what I don't like? Qantas still gets to claim that we're the best airline based on no fatalities, but there's heaps of airlines that were doing pretty well.
Oh, for
sure.
Or
is it a cover-up?
It's either a cover-up or Qantas like claimed to be like a world airline that everyone knows. They still dropped a fucking engine on a kindergarten one time, didn't they?
Did they?
Oh, yeah. That wasn't that long ago. Didn't they drop a fucking big in... Where was it? Might have been Cambodia. It was Southeast Asia. They dropped a fucking engine.
Wow.
Didn't kill anyone. They go, we're fine. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Smash through the roof of a kindy. They're out at lunch.
New toy for the sandpit.
Yeah. It's probably still there.
My son would be rat. That happened to climb around at a daycare.
So his mates were running late.
I probably wouldn't believe him though. Because he's starting to make stuff up. He's 2.5.
Oh, yeah.
Daddy, plane engine, plane roof, engine.
Yeah.
Floor
whatever.
Crying.
Fuckhead. Yeah.
Big hole. Shut up. Put Bluey on.
And when a bloke of this stature, his mates are running late, you've got to sort shit out and look after your mates. It's one thing I know from high up businessmen. They look after their mates and their mates look after them. He's learned his lesson from April. To get shit done, you've got to pull out a gun. Consequences are minimal. Not only is he on a plane, he's packing on the plane. He's got his own pistol.
Oh, so he's on the plane now.
I'm not waiting for my bodyguard's pistol. I'm packing my own in case I've got to shoot some tyres out. Teng said, look, I won't allow this plane to take off. I will capture the plane. He showed them his piece and he told everyone to get off. It's like everyone, get off. And they've calmed him down, said, look, don't worry about it. And so he and his rifle-toting bodyguards, they got off the plane and then their friends.
Fuck.
Yeah, the rifle's on a plane.
I understand the, you know.
Concealed weapon.
Yeah, concealed weapon.
A rifle.
Yeah.
A bit more disconcerting, isn't it?
Cheeky pistol under the shirt, lift it up, I'm packing.
I mean, they
got a fucking shoulder strap.
They don't even hide their guns in canes or anything. They just fucking straight out rifle, probably cocking it on the way on.
Well, why would you? That's not for people in power. They don't. People in power don't need those spy weapons.
No. You know? But I think they'd think they were cool.
Yeah.
Wouldn't they think it was cool? I suppose they've got swords.
No. Nah.
Cold steel sword and a fucking cane rifle, cane pistol and a knife.
I'm just amazed that I haven't heard the term gold AK-47 yet.
Yeah.
We're this far in.
Solid gold AK-47. Now they can't be dead. Their friends turned up and the plane left an hour late with everyone in tow.
Pretty good.
I don't know that I would have stayed on board after that.
After somebody
get my bag off, I'm fucking out of here. There's blokes with guns on this plane. Yeah. Fucking hell.
When somebody's telling me to turn off a fucking Tamagotchi and I you know, I look around and go, excuse me, I will.
They got
don't
guns.
Worry.
Yeah.
My Furby's packed away. Then have a look over there. You're not doing anything about it.
Oh.
I'd probably hop off as well.
Fucking Orient Thai Airlines, their response to being hijacked, literally, was to offer Teng an abject apology for trying to leave on time. I'm like, sorry, Teng, we're just trying to leave on time. You know, our apologies. Thanks for showing us your gun. You have to appease the country's richest businessmen. That's the difference between places like Australia and Cambodia. If the richest businessman here tried to be rude to me and I was serving him dinner, I'd tell him to get fucked.
Yeah.
My boss would probably back me up.
Yeah.
Okay, good on you, mate. Tell him to get fucked. So that's where we're sort of, we're not equal here by any stretch, but sort of because I, you know, that bloke told Scott Morrison to get off his fucking lawn, and he did.
Yeah, and one of the richest people here is Gina Rinehart, a woman, because women can be rich here as well, Heggy.
Absolutely they can.
Yeah.
Mm. You know what you don't see? Milling around her, young, beautiful men. No. Somehow. Why not? What's happened there? So it's almost as if men don't hold money in as high regard. As everyone says they do. Anyway, this is it's going to go downtown if we keep. So Teng
never went uptown.
Yeah,
it's been hovering around Midtown since the start.
Yeah, but every now and then you think, oh, I'm having two cans of beer at 10 a.m. We'll see what happens.
Yeah,
Teng, he has tragically in 2016 died. R.O.P. Teng, your bloody character.
What happened?
Dying. Well, he's fucking old, man.
Oh, yeah?
It's one of those good old-fashioned old age deaths.
Probably a bit of stress.
Bit of stress, yeah. Like, you know, Hun Sen's still there. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
He's not going to die in his bed.
No.
They don't. Dictators don't die unviolent deaths.
No, Pol Pot did, didn't he?
Did he? Did he manage to get through?
Yeah, I think Pol Pot.
All the way to the end.
Yeah.
I haven't researched Pol Pot enough. I knew he's fucking, he's caused a lot of carnage.
Yeah.
But I don't know how he died. Did he not get thrown out violently?
I wouldn't be surprised if it was a cheeky pillow.
Yeah.
Of the nose and mouth in the final stages.
Held a pillow over his own head. Held it down till he suffocated.
I told you I was about violence. I'm not fucking around. kill myself with this pillow.
Dying breed, Teng, Bunma types. Don't fear, though. He has a son who's taken over the business.
Oh, that rarely happens.
And, very rare.
I wonder what that would do because people love a legacy, but very rarely does the son do. I'm sure we've spoken about this before. The son does as well as the dad.
Oh, look at James Packer.
Yeah. He fucked up gambling in China.
Oh, yeah.
One of the fucking easiest layups in history.
Yeah.
And he's just completely missed the backboard. He's tripped over, done a knee.
I'll tell you what did a knee once. I still can't find the picture. I saw a picture once. I think it was SMH of James Packer on a horse playing polo.
Yeah.
And the horse probably had to be put down straight after because he's a big man and the horse was down on its front, down on its knees, just the eyes bigger than a horse's eyes. Yeah. Usually just going, fuck, this is too much.
Well, to be fair,
a horse.
I have gambled a bit and always responsibly, but anytime I have, you'll have a look at the jockey weights and a 61-kilo jockey.
Ah.
Is cause for concern. So I can only imagine what double and a bit that would do.
Yeah, right.
Horses, not as strong as they're getting fucking credit for.
No, they're not. Spindly legs.
Yeah. I could run around giving you a piggyback.
And go faster than a horse, probably, with broken legs. This is how much we just look after humans. Fat jockey. They invented a sport for fat jockeys, one with a little cart behind it.
Oh, yeah, the trots.
Trots.
Yeah.
That's just for fat jockeys, isn't it?
Yeah.
So there you go. Like they're not just going to let those horses off the hook. Go eat some grass, buddy. Nah, we got some fat jockeys. Carry them around.
Yeah. the old mini man rickshaw.
Yeah.
Where they can just tell, no, I'm winning this one. Yeah, enough money. They love a chat.
It's not much happening on them, is it?
The trots are the fucking worst. I've never been on a trots race, not even the computer ones.
Isn't there one where the horses have to do their legs at the same speed or something?
Yeah, there's a trot. No, I forget what the other one is. There's two types, but as soon as there's a bloke in a cart talking to the guy next to him, like I understand that all forms of racing have some sort of sus aspect to it, but there's something about where any trots race I've seen, they're all chatting to each other.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
I don't even like sports where they pretend to like each other on opposition.
No.
I don't really like sports where someone doesn't die.
That's what I want a tang in the fucking, in the trots, just pulling out a pistol, blowing out a tire, just shoot a horse. Fuck it.
Well, hopefully his son's just as hot-headed as him. With any luck, we'll be hearing about him in the future on Mid-Flight Brawl.
Oh, we most definitely will. The son of a rich person. Yeah. Never nicer than the dad.
No, they're bad news. Sons of rich people, real bad.
Real bad. That brings us to the end of another episode of Mid-Flight Brawl. Sydney, we're fucking here. We're out and about. It would take a monumental fuck up and it's not going to be our fault. We're tested. We're good to go.
But oh, yeah.
We are recording this on Wednesday and the live show is Saturday. Potts Point Hotel, couple of tickets left. It's going to happen.
Yeah, we're on.
It's going to fucking happen. We're here. We're tested. We're about it.
After that show, Nick Cody, Australia's favourite larrikin, is doing this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday nights at the Comedy Store. Yeah. I dare say they're close to sold out too.
Yeah, Dad Bod. It's the final tour before I become a dad a second time and have to change my Instagram bio to father/larrikin.
Father, husband, larrikin, our mate. Everybody's mate, Australia's mate.
You know what I'm going to do? Change my website to that.
Oh, my God.
Father,
goodness.
Husband, larrikin.
Yeah. I hope no one gets it.
Children's book author. Yeah. We've got to work on a kid's book. Maybe if we do it together, Heggy.
No.
I'm just trying to help you out.
No, I'm all right.
You don't want a kid's
pencils
book?
And do stand-up.
Oh, I just thought that's what you wanted. So, no. Well, you keep texting me about it. Anyway, let's end the episode.
All right, mate.
You've got low breed shows coming up?
Yeah, man. Perth next week, with any luck, if they put the cap up above 20 people.
Yeah.
And then Sydney the week after that, 13th, 16th, at the Comedy Store and the Factory Theatre.
Sweet.
Heaps of tickets.
See you next week. Bye.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to Mid-Air Brawl. This is our very first episode. Heggy, you're already shaking your head.
It's Mid-Flight Brawl, dickhead.
Oh, fucking hell.
Okay, ready to go. The clap. Hang on, sorry, I fucked it. Clap.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.